Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, September the 13th. So, do you have a guess to the question that I posed from the ACT-AT, the Advanced Campaign Trail Aptitude Test, at the top of the hour? The question was, in early August 2003, which Democratic candidate led his rivals in national presidential primary polls? Was it Kerry or Dean or Edwards or Lieberman or Gephardt? Who led the polls in August of 2003? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Call in if you know the answer to that question. And if you want to be posed another question, there are about 29 more on this test that our guest came up with to try to see if you have what it takes to be a campaign reporter or to see how closely you're paying attention to the presidential campaign in general. We'll ask as many questions as we can throughout the hour, and we'll hope you're brave enough to test your knowledge by calling in. Don't worry, all of the questions, I think all of the questions are multiple choice. And we will come up with some sort of prize to send you if you get a correct answer. Don't worry, it's not going to be anything really fabulous. I'm not even sure what it's going to be. We'll just hunt through our old premiums for pledge drives or something to find a little prize for you should you get a correct answer during this hour, if you want one, if boasting rights aren't enough. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Hope to have some fun this hour with the developer of this quiz, Michael Shearer, Washington correspondent for Salon.com. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks a lot. And you are a campaign reporter yourself, correct?
I am. I'm an official campaign reporter. I should qualify some of this before caller start calling in. I designed this quiz to be incredibly difficult. So it's not just a news quiz. It's actually it's a quiz where I figured someone who's paying attention to the news would get, you know, something like 10 to 15 questions right out of 30. But I wanted to throw a lot of trivia out there that people don't know. So I thought that would make it more interesting.
Yeah, and it was very hard. I follow this stuff pretty closely, yeah. And I didn't know a whole lot of them. But so it was hard, but it was funny too.
Yeah, that was the idea, to make it funny and to teach people new stuff, not to tell them what they already know.
Just to
throw some new trivia in there and make it fun.
People are paying attention to the campaign, maybe a little bit more than campaigns have passed, do you think?
Yeah, there's actually polls. The Pew poll asked people, has done it, I think, since 1988, has asked people starting about 15, 20 months out, are you paying very close attention to the presidential race? And right now we're between probably around 25% of America say they're paying very close attention. Now, that's a relatively low amount, but it's like two or three times more than where we usually are 14 or 15 months out from a general election. Usually, I mean, voters are a very rational group. They have a lot of things they have to do, and spending 2 years listening to presidential candidates is not one of them. They can usually make up their mind in the final few months before an election or a few weeks before an election.
But you
have basically one in four Americans now saying that they are paying a lot of attention. And the news coverage this time around is actually far more intense. The campaign schedule for the candidates is far more intense than really it's ever been before. The amount of money being spent is far more intense than it's ever been before. And when the country is in a war, elections generally get far more attention than they do during peacetime. So you have a whole bunch of things coming together this time around, and people are paying attention far more than they did in the past.
Well, we have our lines are full now with people with guesses to that the question I asked. It wasn't first in line on your quiz. I just asked it because it was quicker to ask in a short period of time.
Right.
We asked in early August 2003, which Democratic candidate led his rivals in national presidential primary polls, and I see. You know, I think what I'm going to do, I'll take the first person who called in, and we'll go from there. Kelly in Milwaukee. Hi, Kelly. You're on the air.
Hello. Was it Howard Dean?
You know what? It was not. So I'm sorry, but thanks for being brave. You want to take a second guess?
Joe Lieberman, then.
Ta-da!
It was Joe Lieberman. And Howard Dean, actually, by the end of August, the question says early August, by the end of August in some polls, he was coming ahead. By September, he was pretty comfortably ahead. You know, this is an interesting question because Barack Obama actually just a few weeks ago put out a memo citing this fact as an explanation for why Barack Obama is trailing Hillary Clinton in a lot of these national polls. All the pollsters say that at this point in an election, national polls just don't matter much. I mean, we remember what happened to Howard Dean. He was a huge front runner nationally going into Iowa. He underperformed in Iowa, and then his whole campaign promptly collapsed just because, you know, I think there's 80, 100,000 Democratic voters in Iowa who ended up, you know, wrecking very estimable Howard Dean campaign. But yeah, it was Joe Lieberman back in August 2003. You know, I think there's some parallels to be made with the Republican field right now. Rudy Giuliani's leading the national polls, but if you look at his trend, it's very similar to what Joe Lieberman's trend was back in 2003. He's been steadily going down in those polls.
Well, let me pose another question that people can ponder over the weather break. And call in if you think you know the answer or want a guest, or just call in to be in line. And you can wait in line and answer the next question. Again, our number, 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. And I'm afraid we'll only let your first guest be the official guest guess. And if you're right, then we'll send you the prize. Kelly, sorry, no prize for getting it right on the second try. Here's the next question. Let me see, which one should I use? I'll do this one. On the day he announced his presidential campaign, Joe Biden got in trouble for A, saying he doesn't like the taste of corn, B, texting a congressional page, C, pledging to bomb Pakistan to kill Osama bin Laden, D, calling Barack Obama clean and articulate, or E, confusing Sunnis with Shiites. On the day he announced his presidential campaign, what statement got Joe Biden in trouble? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, 18 and a half minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, September the 13th. Coming up later today, John Munson in for Ben Marins, and after 4, John and his guest will preview President Bush's address to the nation tonight. We will carry that address at 8 o'clock, National Public Radio coverage of the presidential address on Iraq at 8 o'clock tonight. And tomorrow morning in our 6 o'clock hour, we'll have a guest analyst on to talk about what the president had to say about the surge and the future of U.S. troops in Iraq. That's coming up later today, tonight, and tomorrow morning. Right now, we're wondering if you have what it takes to be a campaign reporter. We are talking with a campaign reporter who developed this presidential campaign trivia quiz. It's tough. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Michael Shearer is Washington correspondent for Salon.com. And the question on the table is, what did Joe Biden say on the day he announced his presidential campaign that got him into trouble? I won't go through all of the options again. Let's just see if someone has the right answer. Zach in Beloit. Hi, Zach. You're on the air.
Okay. I thought it was D.
Calling Barack Obama clean and articulate?
Yep.
And Michael, he is right. Is that right?
He is correct. That's right. It was one of those famous Joe Biden flubs. He constantly gets in trouble with his mouth, although he's been doing a better job, I think, since his announcement day of trying not to mess up. But it was one of those mistakes where no one really believed that Joe Biden, wanted. I mean, the articulate adjective was seen by some, or could be seen as, you know, an ethnic slur against Obama, but no one believed Biden was trying to do that. They have a good relationship. No one doubted Biden's intentions. It was more of a style mistake. You don't want to come out of the bat saying something you don't mean to say.
Yeah. And I'm looking through these questions. There are, again, a lot of really funny ones, and some of them I'll have to censor a little bit because or paraphrase.
If you look at that next question, you weren't the first one. When the Washington Post originally reported this, that they had to censor it.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to do one that has a little bit of Wisconsin flavor as the next question. And again, those of you who called in with the answer, oh, I'm sorry, Zach, you know what? I'm going to put you on hold, and Karen Prager will take your address if you want us to send you a not-so-fabulous prize. So Karen, Zach is on hold, and you can take his address if he wants some sort of trinket. And those of you who remain on hold, you can stay there for to guess this next question. Former presidential candidate Tommy Thompson sometimes traveled with a motorcycle gang of supporters who wore black T-shirts embossed with what slogan? So this is our hometown boy, Tommy Thompson, on his Harley with a gang of supporters wearing a black T-shirt embossed with what slogan? Did it say A, one of our own, B, open road to the White House, C, Tommy Thompson, the legend rolls on, D, Tommy Thompson, he's got the chopper, or E, and this is my favorite, eat my rubber brown back. So which do you think it is? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Not sure if I'm going to just see if Bill in Superior wants to take a guess on that. Hey,
well,
Bill.
I'll try. Joy, how are you this morning?
I'm good.
I think it was one of our own.
Ta-da!
You're right.
Yeah, and I don't even know what was it. What does that mean? Just one of our own? I'm a normal average Joe.
I would believe that's what it meant.
He's sort of a member of the motorcycle gang. He's a rider. So.
Oh yeah, Tommy's famous for riding around on his Harley around here. Bill, congratulations! You have won a fabulous prize or not so fabulous prize if you want one. What do you think happened to Tommy Thompson's campaign, Michael Scheer?
It never really got off the ground. I mean, he focused his energy on Iowa. He was there every week for months upon months, traveling through the state. He really underperformed at the straw poll, invested a lot of money into the state, and that was sort of his undoing. He also had some pretty rocky debate performances, especially that first debate. I don't know if any of your listeners remember in Simi Valley. He couldn't hear a question. He answered. There was a question asked about, what rights homosexual employees should have in the workplace, and he ended up answering it. And then after the debate, taking back his answer and reversing it. So he wasn't really able in those presidential debates, which are really important for the minor candidates to establish himself as a real presidential contender.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Iowa, let's do, this is question 19, and I might not even be able to pronounce some of the names of the towns in Iowa, so maybe somebody in Iowa can call 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Actually, that might give them an advantage. Which of the following is not the name of a city or town in Iowa? Which of the following is not the name of a city or town in Iowa? Oak Bluffs? Home of the 400-pound wax ball, Oskaloosa, the place to stop, shop, play, and stay, Ottumwa, former home of the Ottumwa Boxcar Loader Company, Osage, is that it, Michael?
You know, I'm going to get in trouble if I try to pronounce these names. I mean, I've been constantly corrected in Iowa about my Iowa pronunciation.
I should know these names. We have a lot of these types of towns in Wisconsin, too. Osage, former home of the 19th century author Hamlin Garland, or Olwein, Olwein, former site of the Chicago Great Western Railway Repair Shop. Which of those is not the name of a town or city in Iowa? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. And again, you can call in, just be in line to guess the next question that I ask. Lance in Green Bay, hi, you're on the air.
Hello, thanks for your show. I have no idea because I'm not from Iowa.
You got a 1 in 5
You know what, Lance, we'll give you another chance. Oak Bluffs is actually the one that sounds the most normal.
Yeah, I believe there is Oak Bluff, Iowa, though. Oak Bluff. I don't know.
That's all right.
How about that one?
I was playing Michael Feldman, and I just gave you the answer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so did you have a hard time in Iowa, Michael Shearer?
Yeah, the first time I actually ever stopped in Iowa, I've driven through a couple times, was in February, and it's been a cultural experience ever since. I've been back there 5 or 6 times now since, I think February was the first time. And the towns are terrifically named all through the state, so I wanted to have some fun with it. Oskaloosa, I think, is among the best, and Ottumwa are among the best names of towns I've been to.
Well, if you come to Wisconsin, you can go to Oconomowoc.
Yeah. It's fun for a reporter because you write the dateline at the top of your story. Right under your byline. So, you know, if you have a name like Ottumwa, it makes people want to read it a lot more than if you have New York or Washington.
Right. All right, I'm going to give Lance another one. Flip Romney, F-L-I-P, Flip Romney, is A, the sixth Romney's son, who is gay, B, the nickname for Mitt Romney given to by his wife Ann after he made the whole family pancakes, C, a talking dolphin who shows up at campaign events, D, the nickname for Romney's favorite granddaughter who's a gymnast, or E, the dance move Romney breaks out after eating fried Twinkies on a stick. Which one do you think it is?
I'll take the one with the dolphin.
How did you know that, Lance? I had no idea.
Because I believe I seen it on YouTube. One of the videotapes,
Romney. We get it.
Romney.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I believe I remember seeing it in the background of someone dressed like a fish.
Yeah,
so.
Well, that's right, Michael. Sure. Why does Mitt Romney have a talking dolphin?
One of his opponent's campaigns, and the talking dolphin never says who he's working for or who bought the dolphin outfit, but one of his opponent's campaigns has purchased at least one of these outfits. I've seen them in multiple states, so there may be multiple outfits. And the idea is to highlight the fact that Mitt Romney has changed positions on a number of issues over the years. He's a flip-flopper. So Flip Romney is the dolphin that is meant to mock.
Oh, I get it. Yeah, it's an opponent who's doing this to him.
You know, it's interesting. When I was in Iowa last week following Fred Thompson around, there was Fred the Shark, who was another person who would not tell me his name or what campaign he was working with, but he was dressed up as a shark, and he was at one of the Fred Thompson events, and the idea was that Fred the Shark, because he was a lawyer and lobbyist in Washington.
That's funny. Well, we're going to have a news break in just a moment, so let me leave listeners with this question. This is the question that we'll have you guess after the news. Ingrid Newkirk, the president of People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, is mad at Mitt Romney because, A, did he drown a bag of kittens in a Michigan river when he was 11 years old? Did he invest in a company that demonstrated surgical products on live dogs? Did he put his dog Seamus on his station wagon roof rack during a family vacation? Did he deliberately mock dolphins on the campaign trail? Or has he hunted wild boar in Texas with an automatic rifle? What is the correct answer? 1-800-642-1234 or 263-1890 after the news. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine at 7:36 on this Thursday, September the 13th. And we are playing a presidential campaign trail trivia quiz, finding out if you have what it takes to be a campaign reporter. Our guest from Salon.com, a campaign reporter, the Washington correspondent, Michael Shearer, is our guest. And we welcome you to get in line to answer one of these questions at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. You can actually probably go to Salon.com and find this quiz, and you'll see that if you get a certain number right, you have what it takes to be a campaign reporter, or at least you have what it takes to be qualified as a well-informed citizen following presidential politics. Anyway, though, the question that was on the table was Ingrid Newkirk, the president of People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, is mad at Mitt Romney because why? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Again, you can have boasting rights for getting a correct answer, or we'll send you a little something we'll dig out of the back room if you want a prize. Let's go to David in Lake Mills. Hi, David. You're on the air.
Good morning. I believe the answer is that he put his dog Seamus on the luggage rack of his car. And for the extra point, I believe it was in Ottumwa, Iowa.
Does he get extra credit for that?
I don't think it was in Ottumwa, but I think he gets extra credit for bringing up the extra credit.
Yeah. And that's right.
Thank you.
What was Mitt Romney thinking anyway?
It's a funny story of, I think they have five sons, so it's a big family, and they had to squeeze them all into the car. I think Romney constructed some sort of a carrying container to put the dog up on the top. But one of the sons told this story to Time magazine a few months ago. It included a rather gruesome details of the dog relieving itself in transit, and that streaming down the window pane of the car.
Oh, God.
So Ingrid jumped on it because Ingrid loves to jump on whatever animal outrage is in the news that day.
Hey, the surgical products and live dogs, wasn't it Giuliani's wife who was in a business like that?
That's right. That was meant to distract
you. Trick question, huh?
Yeah. Judith Nathan, who's Giuliani's current wife, worked in medical sales for a number of years. And for one period of that time, and this, I think, is far before she meets Giuliani, she worked for a company that at the time would demonstrate its products on dogs with doctors as a way of showing how good the surgical products were. And this was, this no longer happens, but this was also an outrage that Ingrid Newkirk jumped on, but it had nothing to do with Mitt Romney.
Yeah, I like the other, distracting answer, deliberately mocks dolphins on the campaign trail.
Well, the other one often hunts wild boar in Texas with an automatic rifle. There's a story behind that, too, because Mitt Romney doesn't have much experience hunting, and at one point he bragged during the campaign, this is pretty early this year, that, you know, he likes hunting. And the campaign later had to come out and admit that he'd only been hunting twice, once when he was a teenager and a second time just a few years ago. And so John McCain took to mocking Mitt Romney on the trail by saying, he can go out and shoot with his varmint gun.
That's right.
And that's just because he's not seen as a true blue, gun owner.
All right, here's the next question I'll put on the table. And again, you can call in and just wait in line for the next question. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Well, maybe this one deserves extra credit because you have to pick two. Which two 2008 presidential candidates were behind-the-scenes players in the Watergate scandal that brought down Richard Nixon? Which two of the 2008 presidential candidates were behind-the-scenes players in the Watergate scandal? Duncan Hunter, Chris Dodd, Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, Fred Thompson, Ron Paul, Sam Brownback, Barack Obama. Your choices. Let's go to Ken in Mount Horeb, who didn't know he was going to get that question. But, Ken, what do you think?
I know Fred Thompson was counsel to the Republicans during the Watergate inquiries. And I think Hillary did some kind of research, but I'm not certain of that.
Well, you were right with those answers, right, Michael Scherr?
Yeah, that's right. Hillary worked on the House Judiciary Committee, and Fred Thompson was on the Senate side under Howard Baker as a counsel to the Senate Watergate Committee.
And the two towns in Iowa that you couldn't pronounce, Joy, are Osage and Owine.
Thank you, Osage.
And Osage was, an Indian tribe.
Mm-hmm. And I should have known that. I just was caught a little off guard with both of those. But Osage, and say the other one, Ken?
Owine.
Owine. Okay, all right. Thank you very much. You're not alone. We had a number of people calling, offering especially the pronunciation of Osage. Stephen, wait a minute. Let me put another question on the table. And that would be, when he announced his resignation from the White House, Bush advisor Karl Rove called Hillary Clinton what? A, talented, treacherous, markedly wicked candidate, a brilliant, bodacious, deeply dishonest candidate, solid, soulful, truly underestimated candidate, masterful, maniacal, totally unstoppable candidate, or a tough, tenacious, fatally flawed candidate? What did Karl Rove call Hillary Clinton when he announced his resignation from the White House? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234 or 263-1890. 263-1890. That's the next question on the table from our guest's quiz, finding out if you have what it takes to be a campaign reporter. Irene in Milwaukee, it sounds like you called in for the last question, but I'm gonna put you on the air to see if you have a guess to that one.
Sure, tough, tenacious, and fatally flawed. I called in the last two questions.
Oh, good.
She nailed it.
You got it. You got it. That's right. What was Karl Rove up to with that, Michael? Sure.
There's enormous debate over what he was up to. I think the most likely explanation, that was the beginning of a week-long blitz in which he went on a number of cable news shows and talked to a bunch of reporters about how Hillary Clinton is sure to be the nominee of the Democratic Party. This is news to Democrats who are sort of fighting it out. I mean, there's at least three nominees who could be the president or could be the three candidates who could be the Democratic nominee at this point, Edwards, Obama, and Clinton. But Republicans have been talking for a number of months as if Clinton is, who is the front runner right now, but as if she's, about to be crowned queen and that democracy has nothing to do with it. I think the big reason for that is that Republicans don't like Hillary Clinton, and Republicans are an unhappy bunch right now. So anything that unifies them is good for the party. And so the more Karl Rove talks about Hillary Clinton, the more unified a party he has. And he doesn't have much else to unify them with right now.
All right, I'm going to put another question on the table, and then we'll check weather and see if anybody wants to call in an answer to this one. Why has Rudy Giuliani been photographed repeatedly while dressed as a woman? Why has Rudy Giuliani been photographed repeatedly while dressed as a woman? Is it because, A, as mayor of New York, he wanted the Greenwich Village vote? B, it was Halloween. C, he was performing on Saturday Night Live and for charity dinners. D, it made New York safer. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We're talking with Michael Scheer, Washington correspondent for Salon.com, asking some of the questions he came up with in a presidential campaign trivia quiz. He calls it the ACTAT, the Advanced Campaign Trail Aptitude Test. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Stay tuned. Coming up after 8 o'clock, we will ponder this question. Why do we put up fences? So, we're going to be talking with a number of guests about a pretty thought-provoking cultural exhibit that will be traveling through Wisconsin starting this weekend. It explores the role of fences in our lives, our communities, and the nation. That's coming up after 8 o'clock. We're talking with Michael Scheer this hour. He is Washington correspondent for Salon.com, and we are testing your knowledge of presidential campaign information or trivia. The question on the table, why has Rudy Giuliani been photographed repeatedly while dressed as a woman? And let me put another question on the table for you to think about while we answer this one. Which presidential candidate brought an Elvis impersonator from Texas to perform for voters at the Republican Iowa straw poll? Was it Tommy Spinout Thompson? Was it John Roustabout Cox? Was it Duncan G.I. Blues Hunter? Was it Ron Follow That Dream Paul? Or was it Mike Love Me Tender Huckabee? And now to the phones we go on why Rudy Giuliani has been photographed dressed as a woman. Adrian in Fort Atkinson, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, is it the Saturday Night Live answer?
It is.
Indeed. Everyone's getting everything right.
I know. Very smart group we have here at Wisconsin Public Radio.
There's much debate among the press corps about how these pictures, and you can find them pretty easily on the internet right now, might play in some of the Midwest states and some of the southern states where dressing in drag is not quite as accepted as in New York City. But we'll see. And it's also a question whether some of these pictures get distributed by rival campaigns. You know, it's funny, Rudy Giuliani is running as the authority figure, the person who can take on terrorism, who can handle crisis like he handled New York right after September 11th. So I think there's some concern that these costumes he wore, clearly as jokes, as nothing more, might play badly in middle America.
I can't believe it. We have some people calling in who are concerned that I'm only asking questions that somehow slam Republicans, and that, you know, I need to be fair and balanced and ask some questions that slam Democrats. So I'll
do number 29.
I will. In fact, yeah. I will do that one. I just saw that one.
Part of that, I should explain, part of it is that my beat at Salon is to mostly cover the Republican candidates. I think it's probably true that, you know, more than half, or probably just a little more than half of these questions are involve Republicans and Democrats, and that's my fault, just because that's the world I'm working in. it's my beat out there, so yeah. I apologize for that.
All right. Well, in fact, I will. I'll put this question on the table. We still have the which presidential candidate brought an Elvis impersonator to perform for voters at the Republican Iowa straw poll? That one's still out there. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Here's another one. In his 1995 memoir, Dreams from My Father, Barack Obama admits to what? A, subscribing to Playboy. B, changing his middle name from Jefferson to Hussein. C, knowing all the words to Sweet Child O' Mine. D, embellishing his resume to get into Harvard Law School. Or E, trying marijuana and cocaine. In his 1995 memoir, Dreams from My Father, Barack Obama admits to which of those? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Or which presidential candidate brought an Elvis impersonator to the Republican Iowa straw poll? And I believe Dave in Wauwatosa is with us now. Hi, Dave.
Hello.
You have a guess for either one of those?
Yes, I'll take the Barack Obama question. I believe that he admitted to some drug use.
This is correct, Michael Scheer.
It is correct. Maybe not as scandalous as it was back in 1991, 1992, when Bill Clinton admitted to smoking marijuana without inhaling. but yeah, Obama did admit this. It's notable that it was a 1995 memoir. I don't know if he'd admit it now, if he was currently running for president. But I think it's fair to say that this generation of candidates, the people who are now running, who are in their 50s, in Obama's case, I think he's younger than that, but in their 50s or 60s, drug use is less surprising, at least occasional or experimental drug use is a little less surprising than it was in the past.
Yeah. Well, there we go. And any comment, Michael Scheer, on what Oprah endorsing Barack Obama this week? Is that a big coup for him?
It's a big coup in terms of fundraising, definitely. I mean, she has a number of wealthy friends, and money matters in this race. It also could be important among the women vote. Right now, if you look at the polls, Hillary is ahead substantially from Edwards and Obama, especially in the national polls. And a lot of that, I said earlier, national polls don't matter much, but a lot of her advantage right now is among women. And women, I've talked to a number of them on the trail, are are given, especially Democratic women, are given to want Hillary just because she's a woman, or one of the top, they're proud that a woman could be president. Obama has that problem. He's having a tough time getting in with that demographic group, and so that's exactly the demographic group that Oprah speaks to every day at 4 o'clock. So if she can bring some of those people over, it could be a huge help.
All right. Well, we have the question on the Elvis impersonator on the table, and I'll put another one. Oh, how about the last time Mike Gravel held public office? The president was Jimmy Carter, Ronald Reagan, George H.W. Bush, Bill Clinton, or Warren G. Harding. What president was in office the last time Mike Gravel held public office. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Well, Manuel in Oak Creek, you want to guess either one of those?
Actually, I saw the Barack Obama one. Was it guessed already?
Yes, I'm sorry. We did already answer that one. So now I have you on the air. So which candidate do you think brought an Elvis impersonator to perform for voters at the Republican Iowa straw poll? Just guess. Was it Tommy Thompson, John Cox, Duncan Hunter, Ron Paul, or Mike Huckabee?
Well, I'm just AC. I'm just guessing.
even our public radio listeners who guess, Michael Shear, guess correctly.
That's right. Duncan Hunter, I would have gotten that right. I mean, Duncan Hunter's from California. I said, because of Texas in there, the obvious guess would be Ron Paul. But no, it was Duncan Hunter, and his campaign manager explained that it was a friend of theirs that just drove up. So I don't think they hired the Elvis impersonator. But they had the Duncan Hunter was, I think, one of the only candidates who didn't buy any tickets. The way the straw poll works is the campaign pays $35 so you can vote. So it's a very costly enterprise. And then the campaigns each buy these giant tents, and they pay for entertainment and barbecue. Duncan Hunter, I think he was barbecuing corn. He didn't really have a tent, and he did have this Elvis impersonator who was a friend of someone's. It was a low-budget operation.
Yeah. You know, I'm trying to come up with kind of easy, not easy ones, but you have some really interesting questions here where you have to match the following passages of a, you know, campaign speech to the candidate. I just think they might be a little bit hard to pose on the radio. And some of them do require a little bit of censoring. And I'm going to do the one where it requires a little bit of censoring.
Yeah.
According to the Washington Post, former John McCain campaign manager Terry Nelson had which cinematic sound clip playing on his computer in the weeks before he resigned from the campaign? Okay, this is a former campaign manager for John McCain. What did he have playing on his computer? Was it the song Nobody Puts Baby in a Corner from Dirty Dancing? Was it Where's the Blanking Money? What is that, from The Dude in The Big Lebowski? Is that what that is?
Yeah, The Big Lebowski. It's a great Coen Brothers movie. It's a detective story, and he's, I think, given money to give to some hostage takers, and he loses it. So he finds himself repeating over and over again, where's the money, where's the money?
Or was it something from The Godfather? And I lost the second page here.
Mr. Corleone never asks a second favor once he's refused the first.
Yeah, or was it the horror, the clip from Apocalypse Now? Or was it You Can't Handle the Truth? That must have been, that was the Jack Nicholson character in A Few Good Men, right?
That's right.
All right, so what was the former campaign manager of John McCain playing on his computer just before he resigned from the campaign? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. All of our guessers have, I guess that one is too hard, they all gave up. So let me, maybe you can pose one more, Michael Shear, that maybe one of your favorites or, you know, that's on here that we haven't done yet.
I'll do number four. This is a surprise to me when I first started going regularly to Iowa. Come and Go, spelled K-U-M, ampersand go, is A, prophylactic sold primarily in South Carolina, B, a famous ice cream parlor in Manchester, New Hampshire. C, a gas station chain in Iowa. D, John McCain's strategy for winning the Iowa caucuses. Or E, insert Bill Clinton joke.
That was one of my favorites, too. And I was a little embarrassed to read that one, but I happen to know the answer to that one because I've been driving around Iowa from time to time, so
yeah.
I know that. Well, let's see if Dave. We got to call her in soon enough to see if Dave in Wauwatosa knows. Hi, Dave.
Hi.
Do you know what either the come and go means, or do you know what the John McCain campaign manager was playing on his computer?
Well, I've traveled to Iowa on business, so I've seen come-and-go shops. It's like the equivalent of a Quick Trip here in Wisconsin, I believe.
That's it.
Every few miles on the highway.
you win the prize if you want it. Linda in Waterloo, since we only have about a minute or so to go and you're in line, do you have a guess as to what the John McCain campaign manager was playing on his computer?
Yeah, I would guess that it would be the Where's the Money?
That's right.
Boy, we have a lot of smart...
I think there's only been one wrong answer. I think everyone's gotten everything else right.
Even those who didn't know, who just made a guess, got it right. So anyway, what does this tell you, Michael Scheer?
About the Lebowski quote or generally?
Well, yeah, I guess you can talk a little bit about the Lebowski quote.
Let me just say that real quickly, the reason Terry Nelson had to leave the McCain campaign and the reason McCain has stumbled, although he's since recovered a little bit in the polls, is that from the beginning his campaign had designed a candidacy in which McCain would be the front runner. He would raise something more than $100 million. He would effectively repeat what George W. Bush did in 1999 and 2000. And McCain just couldn't raise that money. Part of it was that Republicans aren't giving a lot of money now. They're pretty unhappy with their party. And part of it is McCain is just not George W. Bush. He's not loved and embraced by the base of the Republican Party. He's a serious candidate, and he still could win, but he's just not that guy.
Michael, I got to jump in. We're out of time. Thank you so much for being with us.
Okay, I'm very impressed though with your call.
Very smart, Michael Scheer, Washington correspondent for Salon.com. I'm Joy Cardine. Thanks to Karen Prager for producing the hour. This is the Ideas Network.